Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code, 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
So anyways, but that's not what the Holy Spirit is, okay? The Holy Spirit is not, the Holy Spirit is a person. I mean, he's got a personality. The Holy Spirit loves, he teaches, he prays, all right? He's a person, all right? Divine person, you know, not, I'm not saying he's a human being. Please don't misunderstand me here, all right? He's a person, all right? And that that he's the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so one of the things that I would encourage us as we're just receiving from God's Word is to start to give the Holy Spirit his proper place as one of the three persons of the Trinity. You know, that, you know, basically, you know, the Father sends forth the Son comes, you know, dies on the cross for us. He says, hey, I got to go back, because if I don't go back, you don't get the Holy Spirit. So he goes back, and then the Father and Son, they send forth the Holy Spirit, and, you know, now the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of what Jesus said when he said, if you keep my word, my Father will love you, and he and I will make our dwelling place with you. The one who makes the dwelling place in us is the Holy Spirit. The person of God that is dwelling in us. Even when it says Jesus, you know, Jesus and me, you know, it's really speaking of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, you know, the Holy Spirit of God who is dwelling in us is the fulfillment of that, all right? So, and this whole thing about receiving, you know, I teach a rather lengthy course in parenting, which is available, you know, through some things online right now that I put together. But and in that, I talk about receiving your children. And people say, yeah, but I got them. I got them. They're over here. I say, no, you don't understand. I said, there's a difference between, like, having them and receiving them, all right? Because you can have all kinds of stuff that you've never really fully taken the time to receive, okay? In other words, to recognize that something has been given to me is part of receiving, all right? To then accept that as mine is something given to me that is intended, you know, for some reason in my life, and to begin to recognize the significance of what's happened in this is part of this process of receiving. Have you ever taken the time with your children to just express your acceptance to them? All right. Well, you know, and so in the analogy here, about receiving the Holy Spirit. I mean, okay, when you. You know, Father, that your Son went to the cross for my sins, and, you know, and when we prayed and we received Christ, all right, powerful thing that happened, but there is something that I think is important for us to recognize afterwards, is to then, you know, through the course of our life, you know, from time to time, perhaps even daily, to be, you know, thanking God for what he's done, you know, expressing that appreciation for, and that acceptance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the place that the Holy Spirit wants. I don't know if you ever noticed this with children, but they want a place in your life that you did not yet give them, all right? You know, moms, you know this for real, right? Okay? I mean, that child that just climbs all over you and seems to want a place with you that you have not yet really necessarily given to them, but they want it anyways, and they come looking for it, all right? And so to understand, there is this place that the Holy Spirit wants in our lives, all right? And will find his way into that place in our lives where we can be powerfully affected and changed as we receive. You know, as we make that decision to give to the Holy Spirit the place in our lives that the Holy Spirit desires to fill. All right? And we're going to talk about it. We're going to describe this in a moment here, this place that the Holy Spirit wants in us. All right? But to get this understanding that receiving is not just about, you know, I receive a paycheck and so I get the paycheck and now I've got it and everything. It's a bigger thing than that. All right? And the Scripture says some things. And I'm just going to summarize very quickly. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? Please understand that even the life that you're living, the body that you're living in, you live in that body. You have that body because you received nourishment. All right? And you received, and that nourishment became who you are. All right, what do you have that you didn't receive? And spiritually, you know, everything that we have, I mean, none of us were ever able to generate anything spiritually that we have. All right? I mean, if you have the ability to love beyond just love meaning, I want that real bad, give it to me. If you have a love that goes beyond that, I mean, understand, you received that. All right? You may have naturally come by this lusting after, you know, what your body's demanding, but the rest of it, you know, the ability to show kindness, you received that. All right? The ability to go beyond that and to love sacrificially. You received that. Right? What do you have that you didn't receive? If you have any spiritual abilities, if you have anything that stands out about you, you know, certain people can play the violin like nobody's business here, you know, you received that, okay? I mean, a million different little ways you received it, all right? And now we see the fruit of it, all right? And so we're going to talk about this thing about receiving and then things getting established in us and then the fruit of that in our lives. All right, so James 1:5, wisdom. If you need wisdom, says, let him ask of God. Isn't that an amazing thing? That if there's something you feel too stupid to know what to do, you can ask God and he'll actually tell you. Oh, come on now. Really, seriously. You know, those moments when you really are thinking, you know, I don't get this. I don't know. What should I do? What should I think? How am I supposed to speak? I don't know. You know, ask of God. It says he gives to everybody liberally and he doesn't even scold you because you didn't already know. Right? You know that thing where people tell you, but then they give you a hard time because you didn't know? All right, James 1:21, in humility, receive the word implanted. Okay, the Holy Spirit, one of his ministries is to take that word, that stuff on the page there, and take it and implant it in your heart. Right now, I'm in the process of planting my garden. All right, and I'm hoping that the rabbits and deer don't unplant my garden. All right, so, but I am planting it. Now, I could, you know, I left some of those little seedlings in the little pots that they came in, and no matter how much I water them, if I don't get them, they're dying. All right, I got to see Gail. She ran a nursery. She's nodding. Yeah, you know. So you got to get them out of there. You got to plant them somewhere. All right, and that word on the page. Well, I'm glad it's there, but you know that isn't where God intended for it to be. He wanted to implant that word in your heart so that it would grow and that it would produce something in you. Not just for you, but for those that are around you, for those that are impacted by you. You know, the analogy that I use where I talk about, you know, like the pipe organ, how every pipe makes one sound, and that basically each of us are like those pipes. Every analogy eventually breaks down. What I want you to understand is none of us makes one sound. All right? God, it says the Spirit divides severally as he wills. Okay? So when we start to walk through some of these things, I hope that you will see what God has been putting in you that you need to receive and say, I accept this. All right, I accept this. A part of receiving is accepting and saying, yes, I accept this as something that God has given to me for a purpose, and now God guide me into the purpose, you know, for which you gave this to me. All right, so to grasp this as we kind of move on through here, okay, that God, he has divided severally to you. All right, and Romans 12:6 tells us that that we have gifts, things we received, that differ. All right, so I've been in places where, you know, one gift, like in a senior leader, all right, became the gift. That's the one. If you're really something, you have the gift. All right, and if you don't have the gift, then there's something wrong with y'all, and you ought to get fixed, you know. And I really try very hard to not let this place get that way. Where, like, you know, if you have a gift that's different from mine, we kind of, well, you know. No. That's on purpose. God gave all of us gifts that differ, all right? And so, and then this last little one, then we're going to move on, that you remember how many of us got the manifestation of the Spirit? Each of us. All of us, you know, have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us. If you are a believer, you have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit because he lives in you. All right, and to grasp this, to receive this. Spirit of God, you live in me, and I welcome you. You know, that's part of receiving, is welcoming. You know, not just accepting, but welcoming. All right, somebody comes to your home, and, you know, if you've ever gone to a home where you really weren't welcomed, all right, you walk to the door, and you walk inside, and people, yeah, okay. And nobody even says hello. All right. I mean, there's some humor that I won't go into about this, you know, but do people take note of you? You know, or do they seem happy that you're here? Are you welcomed? All right, and so there's a person who wrote a whole book just on welcoming the Holy Spirit at the beginning of every day. So it's just called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Yeah. So, but then God gives evidence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Why does he give evidence? Because we will overlook him. We will overlook him. How do you overlook God dwelling in you? Well, now this, if it's word, I'll tell you it's word. If it's opinion, I'll tell you it's opinion. This is opinion, all right? And here's, I just think that of the three persons of the Trinity, the gentlest, the least likely to interpose himself, the least likely to make a ruckus and insist on things is probably the Holy Spirit. I don't know why. It's just my experience with this triune God. Father got something to say, brother, you're going to be hearing it, man. It's just like, whoa. And the Father starts ministering something in your life. There's this authority that just, it's unmistakable, that just like, who am I? You know, Mount Sinai, all right? You know, Jesus, you know, the second person of the Trinity, is there's something that's being ministered to me? And boy, I'll tell you, that his sacrifice, I'll tell you, is just right there. You know, it's hard for me to receive anything, you know, that I sense is coming from the Lord Jesus that I'm not confronted with the cross. But somehow or another, when the Holy Spirit comes, it's almost like there is no place in the Scripture that says, grieve not the Son of God, or quench not the Son of God, or quench not the Father, or grieve not the Father. Two things that they were told not to do regarding the Holy Spirit. Interesting. Apparently, we can shut down the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Okay? God could be getting ready to do something, we could shut it down. Apparently, we can. It says don't quench it, which means you can quench it, just don't. Yes, ma'am.
So do we have to give permission
to the Holy Spirit? Nope. He's not looking for your permission. I mean, permission means I have authority to decide what you do. But this is a very good question. Okay, let's take this for a minute. There are few times in Scripture where we see the Holy Spirit overpowering a situation against the wishes of those that would be receiving. All right? So if we're desirous of receiving what the Holy Spirit is desiring to impart to us, it becomes important that we welcome, that we accept, that we receive. Permission, see, you're hitting it. You're being very insightful here, okay? Because what it is that's the thing we almost have to watch out for here, because that's how we quench him. Is in essence by not yielding to what the Holy Spirit is trying to do because we didn't give him permission. Okay? You know, see, where we're supposed to be is in this place where recognizing that he is present. All right? That if the Holy Spirit is present, the Holy Spirit is desiring of moving in our lives. All right? And so the response to that should be that we are daily welcoming, receiving, right? And when we get over into this thing where we're a little too controlling, okay, I mean, I don't mean to pick on, you know, popular fad words and stuff like that, but we're a little too controlling here and feel like the only things that should be going on is what I've permitted, all right, see, that's where we get in trouble. And that's how we end up quenching the Holy Spirit. It's like, this is an inconvenient time, Spirit of God, you know, like, could we do this some other time, is quenching the Holy Spirit, all right? The Lord used to test me a bit with this. Like, I'd be in settings where I thought to myself, you know, I'd be praying, oh, God, I pray just move by your Spirit and everything like that. And then I'd get in situations where it would be really awkward if he did, you know. And God would ask me, you know, what if I decided to move, like, right now? You know, and it was just like, he was just wanting to kind of loosen up some of the strings that I have on things, all right? You know, because we do like to kind of tie down life and kind of have it the way we want it, all right? Even the good things are supposed to come on schedule, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, and if they don't, you know, we get a little perturbed, you know. It's like, it's very nice, but not now, you know. And it's, you know, so I mean, watching out for this whole thing of quenching, you know, that working of the Holy Spirit. All right, so it tells us over in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read actually the context here because I started realizing a lot of it's right here together. All right, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Okay, so in essence, the Holy Spirit is in you, but here's the question. You being led by him? It didn't reach the back rows, not even remote. I'm going to be right back. Okay, the Holy Spirit is in you, but are you being led by him? Or are you trying to lead him? You know, Holy Spirit, look, there's a few things I got planned for the day. I'd like you to take care of this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, and it's like, and you kind of have him, you know, with a task list for you. You know, I mean, or are you being led? Because it says here that the ones that are being led by the Spirit of God, in other words, the ones that have turned that formula around and said, look, Holy Spirit of God, I got some things I'm trying to get done today. But really, when I put my head on the pillow tonight, my desire is that I could just have something in my knower inside here that knows that you led me and I did the things that you wanted to do. Because you want to see the power of the Spirit, well, then you need to be doing what the Spirit's doing. All right, we get this thing, and I don't know where it comes from, but it's very, very thick in American culture, and I don't know about the whole rest of the world. It's only been to certain parts of it. But, you know, we really look at this very strongly as, I want to get the Holy Spirit of God's power so that I can do what I want to do. All right? And it's the other way around. What it is that I want to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit so He can lead me so that the things that I'm doing become the things that the Spirit of God's power are invested in, and I can see the working, the power of the Holy Spirit through the things that I am doing because He's leading me. Is that making sense? It looks like, yeah, I guess I'm seeing light bulbs go off in the back row, so that's good. All right, so I'm not picking on you for sitting in the back. That's fine. But there's three seats right here. No. Just. All right, so let's keep going here. All right, so then there's 14. Okay, 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Imagine how scary it'd be to be a slave. All right? But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba! Father! You know, I mean, that's the kid who got lost in the marketplace looking for his dad, okay? All right, so, and there's exclamation points after each of those words. That was not me just adding something for emphasis here, okay? All right, so the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay? That is a fairly big piece of what we need to receive if we're going to see the powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Is you are a child of God, and that the Holy Spirit of God in you is the one who informs you of this. All right, and by acknowledging His presence in you, by welcoming the Holy Spirit in, by desiring to be led by the Holy Spirit and seeking and listening and watching for the those leadings that the Holy Spirit uses to get us where we're supposed to get. You had an experience at a grocery store, I understand. All right, you know, and just, you know, walking through the line, and we don't, you know, it was just a little prompting or something like that. Hey, do you know where there's a good church? And you ended up here this morning. At the end of the day, I'm hoping that you're glad you came, all right? But the fact is that, you know, those little, where do those promptings come from, all right? You know, we tend to think it comes from pizza and pop, something just at work in our natural constitution that caused us to think or to do what we did, but to understand that very often what it is that if you start to recognize those promptings, that's the Holy Spirit just kind of leading you, and will you come, all right? God's desire is to lead you by gentle leadership. Right, again, back to my parenting classes, when I teach parents, I say, look, there are times you got to get pretty tough with a kid to get them to do what they're supposed to be doing. I said, but I want you to understand, then you want to go back to gentle leadership. You're not trying to train somebody who requires harsh leadership to get them to move and do the right thing. That is, God's desire is not to have an army of people that are like slaves under the whip. All right, He wants us to be children who respond to the voice of their father. Or mother. Sorry, moms. It isn't Mother's Day, but Father's Day is coming up next week, so I'm going to mention the dads a little more. So there's this, you know, this is, and to receive this, to accept it, that God, you know, I understand that what you're trying to do in my life, you know, you saved me for a purpose. You saved me, and you didn't leave me here just to hang out and wait. You kept me here because you got things that you're trying to do by your Holy Spirit, and if I allow myself to be led by your Spirit, I will be demonstrably to anybody who looks on your child, and as your child, I represent you to a world that is looking for you, that is desiring to see you. So Holy Spirit, you know, come on, I'm inviting you, I'm welcoming you, I'm receiving, I'm accepting you, this into my life. I want you to lead me, show me, you know, moment by moment, day by day, you know, situation by situation, show me. What you're desiring to do, all right? So Galatians 5, 22 through 25, the fruit of the Spirit, okay? Now, the gifts, the Holy Spirit imparts severally as He will. Nobody's going to have all the gifts except Jesus, all right? So the rest of us will have some gifts, but not all. The fruit of the Spirit, though, you may manifest more of one than another, but you should, you know, as I'm living and as I'm receiving in and saying, yes, Holy Spirit, come and do a work in me, these fruits should be showing up. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All right, these things should be increasing in me as a demonstration to me, first and foremost. I mean, just that at the beginning of all this, I start to see that something's at work in me that's changing me, that's making me somebody else, and it should cause me to wonder a little bit, you know, what is it that's at work in me that's causing this? And it's the Holy Spirit of God working in me, taking me from somebody who had their love hate list to somebody who doesn't have a hate list anymore, You know, taking me from a person that, you know, basically was like a thundercloud, you know, just kind of rumbling all the time, to somebody who actually knows what joy is, all right? And, you know, somebody that has this desire for and is able to actually, you know, bring people to peace and, you know, patience, and all these things start to manifest in you. This is an evidence that the Holy Spirit is living in you. That's the fruit of Him being in you is this, all right? That's what it's about, all right? So, now, I want to move over into this section of Scripture we're going to spend most of our time in the next just little while. It's chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. All right, and what is, after, in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, there are two lists that help us to understand the gifts of the Spirit. All right, and so one's over, the one we spend more time with, usually over in 1 Corinthians. But over here in Romans 12, there's this other list. And he goes through and he starts talking about all these different gifts that come as a result of the Holy Spirit being in us. All right, and then after he gets done with the list, he goes into this discussion about something, which I believe, at least as I'm looking at it and I'm praying about it, I really think what he's trying to do is describe the countenance of, the spiritual impact of or appearance of a person who is led by the Holy Spirit. All right, I think that's what he's after going through this whole list, and he knows he's talking to you about the stuff you're really interested in. Yeah, tell me how the power's going to work in me. But then he gets in and he says, well, it's almost like an aside, like, you know, he's going a different direction now, but he's not. This is in furtherance of what he's already said about these gifts. He says, you know, let love be without hypocrisy. Right, let me just go through it once real quick, and then we'll come back. Abhor what's evil. Cling to what's good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Talk about a run-on sentence, right? Okay. Devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what's right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, so, you know, it's... To what end? You know, why is, you know, he gets through talking about all these wonderful gifts that whereby the Holy Spirit's going to work in us, and, you know, the church is going to become this complete ministry, and anybody who comes to it will receive what they need, and, you know, and then also he just kind of goes off into this, you know, what's he talking? I think he's describing what you look like. You know, this is a little self-portrait for us. This is, you know, if you're trying to, what should I look like? All right, you know, we look in the fashion magazines or, you know, advertisements, and they show us what we're supposed to look like lately, you know, and tell us what the newest fads are, and, you know, what color hair or whatever. I don't have to worry about the color hair thing anymore. It's you know, kind of, it's all behind me. So, but I think he's trying to describe what you ever been somewhere and you knew that person was a Christian? It's you can't tell, I don't know how I knew that, I just knew it. I think it's because we look like this. I think this shines through. I think this character that he's describing, this character sketch, if you will, of a person, is what is evident in us because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. So we talk about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us as this person, and just in the impact of that. Let's go back through this one a little slower, all right? And just, I'm not going to necessarily spend a lot of time with each one, but let love be without hypocrisy. You know, hypocrisy basically is built on the idea that I say things that I never really do. Oops. All right. So let love be without hypocrisy. I tell people, be very careful with that L word, you know, because you don't want to commit fraud here. You know, sometimes we tell people we love them when we don't even have the capacity or the means for loving them. But we know it's the right thing to say. It feels good to say it, so we say it. Oh, I love them. But it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Don't say it and not do it. Don't be the you know... I remember it was a long time ago, and I was a professional photographer, and I was photographing a wedding. And I took more useless pictures at this one wedding than at any other one that I ever got. Susie, get me around. I need you for the second banana here for a minute. Excuse me. Sorry. Anyways, so she's the photographer, and I am the bride. Oh, come here. You got to get me a picture. Come on. You got to get a picture of me with this. This is my best friend. Oh, this is my best friend. Oh, it's just, you know, come on. Smile like this. And we walked around that place for an hour. Everybody in the place was her best friend. Do you know how many of the pictures she bought? Okay. Now, all right. But so now there's a graphic, of what we're talking about here. But this thing, you know, the mouth is moving, but, you know, the actions aren't following. All right. So let love be without hypocrisy. If I'm going to use that word like love, you know, God convicted me about using the word friend. Okay. Because I use the word friend sometimes. Normally, I reserve that word friend for people who really are friends. Because a friend loves at all times and sticks closer than a brother. Yeah, whoa, wait a minute. Using this word friend. Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. You know, and he starts talking about the special relationship we have because we're his friends. And so it's like, whoa, wait a minute. So, you know, the word that we speak to people, let's follow through on it. All right? In fact, that was, you know, beginning of the year, I tried to get before the Lord, you know, what's the instructions for today? And God just, for some reason, said, if you speak a word, do it. Now, there are times you have to repent of a word you've spoken because it would be wrong to do it. And that's not what I'm talking about here. But just times where you've said, well, I'm going to do something or, and then, you know, you speak a word. Let's do it, okay? You know, and so, but let love be without hypocrisy, right? Use the word less if that's possible. Okay, if it's not possible, start using it more. Okay, use the word a little less and then follow through on it. You know, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what's evil. Should I meddle and talk about the TV set or no? Okay, I'm going to tell you something. This is something that I think we as a culture need to become a little bit more aware of and so we can do something about it, which is to the extent to which innocent entertainment no longer interests us and, you know, they have to throw a little bit of evil in there to catch our attention. You know, I mean, there was a show that we've been watching and all of a sudden they just, you know, opened up the dirt bin and just you know, threw in a shovel full. And I said, looked at Sue, she looked at me, I said, that one's done. And, you know, it's just, but this whole thing about abhorring what's evil, in other words, actually hating things that are evil, all right? You're going to go home and find out on the news that more than 20 people were shot dead, in a nightclub in Orlando, all right? Yeah. 50? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, abhor what's evil, all right? There's something evil at work. I don't care what the status of those people was, you know, it's just, it's evil, you know, and we have to abhor what's evil. We don't make excuses for evil. I remember I was just put in a place by God to be Kaylee Poulton's mother's pastor, and at some point I'm sitting with her and the district attorney, and at some point I says, I just, you know, as the crime was starting to unfold, we're starting to understand what happened, I says, I don't understand, why would he do something like this? And the district attorney put up his finger and started shaking, and he says, look, he says, don't try to understand it. Don't try to rationalize it. He says, it's not good for you. You know, and I start realizing, yeah, when I start to rationalize evil, you know, rather than just abhor it, you know, I'm letting it in. I'm letting it have a little bit bigger place in my heart. You know, I don't want to try to figure this out. It's evil. I know evil when I see evil, it's evil. All right? So abhor and cling to what's good. Cling to what's good. Right now, you're really having to cling to what's good because a lot of people are trying to say the good is evil. And so there's this temptation to just back off and kind of, you know, have a little lighter grip on what's good. Don't do that. You know, cling to what's good. You know, there's things that he has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. You know, God shows us what's good. In fact, one of the arguments against the existence of God, I'll tell you what the argument is because it's so easy to just blow it to pieces, all right? Well, okay, if there was a God, okay, that God would have to be all good and all powerful, okay? And if he was all good and all powerful, he'd have to always act in a way that was good and all good and all powerful. And so, therefore, okay, evil is not good. Evil exists, therefore, an all good, all powerful God doesn't exist. My first question is, apart from the existence of God, please define for me good. And invariably, it always comes down to what I like is good, what I don't like is bad. I said, that's a pretty high mountain for you to climb. All right? I much prefer the idea that what God likes is good and what God doesn't like is evil. you know, that I've got somebody so much greater than me that gives me at least some hope of even knowing what evil and good are. And so in essence, what we're being invited to here is to hate the things that are against God and to love the things that are of God. You know, that I remember that it was, you know, I was in the steel factory and I hit myself with a 10-pound sledgehammer. You know, can I tell you that hurts? Okay. He said, I didn't say ouch. I said something else, all right? And anyways, and I remember, you know, just talking with God about this whole thing. And I said, you know, it's these guys. You know, they're so full of bad language. And I get this sense in the spirit, no. Well, it's the devil. The devil got the, no. You know, and then I started realizing that, you know, there was something in me that was still wrong. It was something that was against God, that was just still at work in me. And I remember being grieved in my heart and just saying, oh, God, teach me to love what you love and hate what you hate. You know, teach my heart to embrace the things that are from you and to reject the things that are against you. You know, and so this whole thing, you know, abhorring what's evil, clinging to what's good, being devoted to one another in brotherly love. You know, I was telling a good friend of mine that they're one of the most devoted people that I know. And, you know, and I was, it's just, yeah, this whole idea of being somebody, you aren't devoted until you're inconvenienced. Okay? All right. Sometimes going over to see Corey was inconvenient. And he would always say, oh, just come see me when you're in the neighborhood. I said, you live in Charlotte. Do you know how often I'm in Charlotte? I said, I'd never see you. And I said, Corey, I love you. And I said, you're important to me. So I'm just going to come see you. Is that okay? He said, well, yeah, you know. But see, you're not devoted to anybody or anything, all right, until you're inconvenienced. You know, until you get to the place where, you know, you got other things to do and you say, no, I choose this. See, that's what being devoted to one another and brotherly love is about, all right? That you make this decision that, you know, that my life doesn't need to be convenient, all right? I need to show God's love to people, all right? And so, you know, yesterday we had a wedding reception up in the barn. Lots of inconvenience going around, right? Okay, right? Okay. But why do we do this? You know, because it's right. Because it's this character that the Holy Spirit works in you to devote yourself to people. And you know, even if it's just for a season, you know, to devote yourself and in brotherly love to just love these people. You know, we had something that kind of went wrong, and the person came down very concerned that we'd be upset with them. I said, no. I said, you know, somebody just got upset. I said, when I realized I couldn't really do anything to make them any happier, I just backed off. It's okay. You know, now, wait a minute. I could have been furious. How dare this person talk disrespect with me? You know, no. All right, so this being devoted to one another in brotherly love, okay, and it just goes on. And to look through this thing, being fervent in spirit, all right, being somebody spiritually alive, okay, you know, and you're just, yeah, that spirit that's at work in you is hot, all right, that, you know, that there's something going on inside of you. And, you know, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, okay? And then, you know, we get to this, bless those who persecute, bless and don't curse, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, okay? All right, do you mind if I talk about it just for a minute? It's okay? Just, yeah. You know, our sister was weeping a bit this morning, all right? She is being devoted in love here, okay? And she is really, you know, this is a lot, okay? I think all of us know that, all right? And so I told her, look, please, we're a fellowship of believers around you. Let us be a fellowship of believers around you. Let us walk with you. Let us support. We may not be able to solve the problems always, okay? But you shouldn't be alone with this. You know, I want you to understand. I mean, I've seen people snap under the pressure, all right, because nobody was walking with them, all right? All right, and that's where, you know, just that thing coming alongside of people, you know, rejoicing with people, rejoice. That's the fun part, you know. And, you know, it's like, but wait a minute, what if you're not really feeling like rejoicing and somebody's rejoicing, you know, we're still supposed to rejoice with them, all right? There's times when my circumstances may not be that great and I may be really kind of, you know, and somebody's rejoicing. You ever know, like, when you're not feeling so good and somebody else is rejoicing, it's kind of annoying, you know? It becomes an irritation, you know, and you're sort of saying, shut up, you know. it's like, you know, but just so you understand, I mean, we're still supposed to rejoice people that are rejoicing, you know. And also weeping with those who weep, you know, coming alongside and being there, you know, alongside of them to be there with them in the midst of that, all right, that they won't be alone. Jesus said, I won't leave you like orphans. I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. All right? And he said, I'm going to send forth the Holy Spirit to be with you always. All right? And so to understand is the Holy Spirit is in you and he is here to be with people always. You may be the means by which the Holy Spirit is with somebody always. Okay? All right. I'm going to just do a couple more here, and then I'm going to wrap up here, okay? It says, don't take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. All right? Three levels of forgiveness. One is to say, I take my hand back. I don't hold this against you anymore. Second thing, forensic. I say, God, I've decided, you know what? I'm going to call the police, say, look, don't, I'm not going to press charges. All right? Third level is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The one that you required of you is to remove your own hand. You can leave it to God to deal with them as he will. All right? And you're not doing anything wrong in that case unless he's called you to forgive at a deeper level, this thing. But to understand that you don't have to. In fact, when you take your own revenge, God might just back off. Say, no, you didn't leave room for me to work. You've already done your stuff. Don't overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. That's a very nice, neat little package there, but that's probably one of the toughest things in this. You know, is that when we're confronted with things that are really bad, you know, and I've shared this before, I'll share it one last time, then we'll pray. And that's that I remember a friend who was going through a time where great injustice being done to him. And he was so mightily tempted to do back to them what they were doing to him. And I said, don't do it. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Keep doing what's right in the sight of God. Because at some point, God is going to show up, and he's going to deal with people for the stuff they've done, and you want to be on the right side of that. You want to be on the right side of that. I says, if you've done the same thing they've done, but God wants to make a difference, and he wants to show that difference in how he responds to the life that you're living. You know, and it comes down to this whole thing here with just the Holy Spirit in this place that he's in. And then I'm just going to leave this quote, and then I will pray. This is from R.A. Torrey from this book that I've been reading. Do you know the communion of the Holy Ghost, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the partnership of the Holy Ghost, the comradeship of the Holy Ghost, the intimate personal friendship of the Holy Ghost? Herein lies the whole secret of a real Christian life, a life of liberty and joy and power and fullness. To have one's ever-present friend and to be conscious that one has as his ever-present friend the Holy Spirit and to surrender one's life in all its departments entirely to his control, this is true Christian living. You know, that given ourselves, you know, to the leadership of, to the control of, to the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, if we're going to see manifestation, if we're going to see powerful working of the Holy Spirit, it begins.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.